Hear your favorite NFL legends sharing their stories and insights every week right here on Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari. Take it away, guys.
Once the door is locked, there's no way out.
All right, now joining us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former Cowboys and Bills defensive end Jim Jeffco. Let me give you a little more background on Jim. He is from Long Branch, New Jersey, which is in the very northeastern part of the state. Played his college ball at Arizona State, where he earned all Pac-10 honors his junior and senior seasons. 1982, he was an AP Honorable Mention All-American and recognized as the leader of the nation's top defense that season. He was named to the East-West Shrine Game and the Senior Bowl All-Star Team as well. He was also named one of ASU's top 50 best professional athletes of all time. And in 1994, he was inducted into the Arizona State Hall of Fame and their Ring of Honor, and also the Fiesta Bowl Hall of Fame. And after the 1983 victory over Oklahoma State, he was named Defensive Player of the Game. He was a first-round draft pick, the number 23 overall selection by the Dallas Cowboys in 1983, and he played in the league from 83 to 1997, like I say, for the Cowboys and the Bills, and he helped the Cowboys to back-to-back Super Bowl championships over those Bills, by the way, in 1992 and 93. Over the course of his career, he had 1,400, or just a little over 1,400 tackles, 102 and a half sacks. He forced 18 fumbles, had two interceptions, both of which he returned for touchdowns. And we are honored that he is with us tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Jim, Chris and Bob here. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Jim.
Thank you.
Yeah. Jim, I wanted to start our time with you by going back to your time at Arizona State. So I was curious, how does a kid from New Jersey end up playing his college ball out at Arizona State?
Well, I was recruited everywhere in the country, and I went out there, and actually that's when the blizzard of 78 was going on, and it was 80 degrees out there, and the weather was beautiful, the mountains, and I fell in love with the atmosphere out there.
And Jim, your senior season, as I was sort of looking back over a lot of the game logs that you had and the games you had an opportunity to play with, that senior year, huge wins over USC and Oklahoma, then in the Fiesta Bowl, a couple of tough losses to Washington and Arizona. But looking back at that senior season, what sticks out to you about that year?
The players I played with, the Mike Richardsons, the Vernon Maxwell, the Ron Browns, I mean, you can... there were a lot of Randy McDaniel was a freshman on that team. There were a lot of great players that I had the opportunity to play with at Arizona State. And that's what I remember most is the camaraderie and the opportunity to play with such great players.
And Jim, like I say, you were named Defensive Player of the Game in that Fiesta Bowl. It was a battle, really, between you and Marcus Dupree that day. Both of you guys had huge games. You had a slew of tackles that day in on a safety. He rushes for 239 yards. What do you remember about being a part of that game?
Well, the biggest thing I remember, he didn't score a touchdown. Obviously, he ran for a lot of yards, so they were meaningless yards. But he never got across the goal line, and that was the big thing, and that helped us win. And we had some talent on that defense, and to keep him out of the end zone was to those guys that we played with and the guys that I played with, and that opportunity we rose because they didn't think we were going to beat him. And when we went out there and played and kept him out of the end zone, although he did run for quite a bit of yards.
Bob, questions for Jim?
Yeah, it's great to have you on the show, and thanks, Jim. And when you came into the league, I remember defensive coordinator was Ernie Stautner on those teams, and he always had that reputation, Jim, as being such a good football guy. I remember him doing light beer commercials, but a tough guy, I think a great player in his own right. But your memories of him and how he helped you along the way?
Well, he took me under his wings, obviously, as a young player, as a rookie, and he and Randy White and Ed Tuttle Jones, John Dutton, Harvey Martin was there at that time. And they molded me, but he was a very tough guy. He played 19 years in the NFL, which was unheard of at that time. And then to become a successful defensive coordinator, he was what pro football was about. And he taught me how to, you know, the toughness of it and how to be a pro because I was around one of the greatest pros to ever play the game. He was 6 foot. Weigh 235 pounds, and he's in the Hall of Fame. That tells you enough about Ernie.
And Jim, we have been we've been lucky to have Bob Lilly on this show, and I'll ask you a similar question I asked him, because you played 15 years, rarely missed a game. And if you probably were playing these days, you probably would be asked to sit and have injuries heal. But it was a different era, Jim, as far as playing her. I mean, you played so many full seasons, just never missed games. Talk about, you know, playing while injured, which you did.
Well, as a pro player at that time, you were expected to be on the field and perform. And if you were injured, it was different than if it was a serious injury or if you were just hurting. And if you were hurting, then you figured out a way to get out there and play because, you know, the team needed you. And you knew that you had to be out there performing at a high level. And that's in what you said before with Ernie Stoutner. Ernie Stoutner, I didn't miss a game, actually, until my last year of playing. And the only time other time I missed a game was going to strike. And it was just, you know, I was fortunate enough to keep myself healthy and physically ready. But it was the expectations that you were going to be on the field.
Jim, curious, as a kid who grew up in New Jersey, who'd you grow up rooting for? Who was your team?
Well, obviously, it was the Giants. I grew up 35 minutes away from the Meadowlands, and I followed the Giants. They weren't very good at that time, but they were the closest team to where I grew up at in Central Jersey. So, and then actually, Tucker Fredrickson's wife was a teacher at my school, so... It was natural that I grew up being a Giants fan.
So being a Giants fan, getting drafted by the Cowboys, obviously a rival in the same division. Were you happy to be drafted by the Cowboys, or were you thinking, you know, anybody besides the Cowboys or the Eagles?
Well, I didn't really have a choice in the matter, but when you walk in that locker room, you see Tony Dorsett, you see Drew Pearson, who is another guy. He's from South River, New Jersey. And, you know, you see Ed Too Tall Jones, John Dutton, and Randy White, and those guys. And, a slew of guys. You wanted to be a part of that because they had so much success over the years. And they had truly one of the foundations of one of the best teams that I ever played.
So, Jim, you get drafted by the Cowboys in 83. Now, all of a sudden, you're playing for Tom Landry, and you're a part of a defensive line with all those Cowboys legends, that Randy White and Too Tall Jones, Harvey Martin, John Dutton. What was it like coming in, and now all of a sudden you're trying to make a name for yourself alongside those guys?
Well, I just kept my mouth shut, listened to what they told me, and made sure that I was trying to do the best that I can. I always played hard. So they liked that. They appreciated that. And if they said something, I took it down and made sure that I did it. Because these guys were old vets. I'd sit in after meetings and watch film with Randy White for hours because he knew eventually that I'd be playing next to him. And he understood pro football because at one time he was a linebacker. And we talked about theories and how to attack offensive linemen, what their strengths and their weaknesses were. And Randy was really like a coach on the field.
And Jim, like I say, I was looking at some of your game logs in your time in Dallas and with Buffalo. In 1980, you had a game against the Redskins. 5 sacks on Joe Theismann. So I was curious, you spent so much time in their backfield and I'm sure on top of Theismann. Did he ever say anything to you? Was Theismann frustrated talking to his offensive lineman? I got to believe he was going crazy because you were back there so much.
He's another guy. He actually played with Drew Pearson in high school at South River, but he kept looking and like, you're here again? What are you doing here again? And, Joe, you enjoy sacking Joe because he talked a little bit too much. So, it was one of those days you get in that zone, and I was in that zone, and it was some days you become unblockable.
Bob Moore for Jim.
And Jim, you mentioned Tom Landry. We've had many guys that have played under him. As far as so many coaches are known for being just good organizers, some guys lean to the defensive or offensive side. What, in your opinion, made him so successful as a coach?
Well, first of all, on Mondays after the game, he critiqued every position on offense and defense. And he, and that was amazing. He was, the kind of person, I mean, he thought, the choir music was going to play when he walked out and there was going to be a little glow about him and that he was going to be walking just a little bit above the ground. He was going to walk on the air. I mean, that was Coach Landry. When he walked in the room, you knew his presence. I mean, you felt his presence because he was one of those guys that was had a amazing, amazing coach on offense and defense. He designed, obviously, the flex. He did the hitch movements on offense. He did the shotgun. I mean, there's a lot of things that he did to help the game of football. And people, you know, don't know a lot about him, but it was a special time having the opportunity to play for Coach Landry.
And Jim, your memories of Dorsett as a teammate, obviously we know his talent. We've heard that his health may not be quite up to par. But as far as your memories of Tony, have you stayed in touch with him over the years?
Yes, yes. Tony and our daughters grew up together, and they're the same age. And Tony was one of the most amazing, toughest guys. He was obviously from Wilkinsboro, Pennsylvania, and he was in steel mill country, and he was a incredibly competitive. I mean, I seen him play with a broken wrist. I seen him play with a broken bone in his back. I mean, he was just physically tough. He wasn't a big guy, but I mean, I always said this, and I still believe this to the day. If he ever trained for the 100 meters for the Olympics, he probably would have won it. I mean, he was just a special, special player.
Jim, you were there for the transition from Tom Landry to Jimmy Johnson as head coach. Was that awkward for you guys? It seemed like when Jerry came in and bought the team, he sort of forced Landry out to bring in his friend Jimmy Johnson. Was that tough on you guys?
Well, you got to understand that, unfortunately, it's just like with players. There's transition. There's always going to be transition in life. And, you know, Mr. Jones had that right as a owner of the team to do that. And I'm not saying that as a negative against Coach Landry, but, him and Jimmy did play, together at University of Arkansas. I don't know if they were the best of friends, but, you know, Jimmy had been successful as a college coach and he did bring energy. I thought that he brought a lot of energy to the team. And he'd always say to us that he had his guys. And he said, when you're one of my guys, he said, it's like heaven. But if you're not one of my guys, you know, I'm going to get rid of you as soon as I can. And the one thing about Jimmy is he's almost blunt in how honest he is.
And Jim, as we talked about at the top of the interview, you got to be a part of back-to-back Super Bowl championship teams with the Cowboys that ended up beating the Bills two times. What's that like? What's it like, you know, for you at the end of the first one and at the end of the second one, knowing you're a Super Bowl champion yourself and the confetti's flying, and then you back it up the next year and do it a second time? What's that feel like?
Well, it's interesting because I was obviously part of the 1-15 team. But I'll never forget this after the first Super Bowl, or not after it, during the last seconds as the clock was winding down. Jimmy Johnson comes over to me and he says, I need you to do me a favor. And I'm thinking, well, the game's almost over. What does he want me to do? I'm playing, you know, I'm playing in the game already. And I said, anything you need, coach? And he said, you know what? He said, we've been through this thing, from 1-15 to this point. I want you to walk out to the field with me, arm in arm, because we made it through this. And, there are pictures of us, you know, walking out to the middle of the field, but it was a special moment to have the opportunity to play in the Super Bowl. It's special for any pro athlete to be at the top of their game and to play in, an event like that.
A couple years later, now you're a member of the Bills. So the team you beat twice in the Super Bowl, now you're on the other side of the coin. Was that odd? Was it odd being a member of the Bills after beating them twice in a Super Bowl?
It wasn't, but I became good friends with Jim Kelly, Bruce Smith, Andre Reed, and I said they had a tremendous amount of talent on that team. Cornelius Bennett, was on that team, Thurman Thomas, and there was a tremendous amount of talent. We were just built different under Jimmy, and that's just the way we were. I mean, and they would, I mean, it was, I mean, you see by the Hall of Fame players they have how talented they were. And it was just our day, and it was our time.
Jim, before we let you go, I know you've been doing some coaching since you retired from the NFL. Catch us up on what you're doing now.
Well, I work for a catastrophe company called Pilot Catastrophe, and it's in Fort Worth, Texas. And what we do is when you see the big storms, the Florence, the Gordon, we do adjusting for them. I did it this year. I did what they call field adjusting. I go out and estimate damages in certain places, Colorado, Florida, Georgia, places like that. But then I went to the desk where the insured calls in and I help them with their claims.
So, Jim, for our listeners that want to stay up to date with all the things that you're doing now, is there a way for them to keep track of you, whether it's online or it's on social media?
Well, I have a Twitter handle, and that's my kids gave it to me. It's at Slim Daddy Twitter or whatever they call it. I don't even know. But it's at Slim Daddy, I guess, Twitter or Twitter.com, or who knows. I know it's Slim Daddy.
Jim, thank you so much for taking time out of your night to come and be a part of the show. There's so many things we'd love to get your thoughts and insights on. We hope you'll come back and join us again sometime. It's been great sharing this time with you.
No question. I definitely would like to come back.
Thanks, Jim.
We appreciate you, Jim.
All right.
Take care. All the best to you and your family. We look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Good night, Jim.
All right,
Jim. That is former Cowboys and Bills defensive end Jim Jeffcoat. Great guy, Bob. I like that. A lot of good stories, and like, you know, you say a lot. We barely scratched the surface of all the great things that Jim was a part of and got to do. Hopefully we get the opportunity to catch back up with him.
He was a terrific player. For those people that go back into the early 80s, and what's amazing to me, Chris, I had rosters in front of me of some of those Cowboy teams of that era. And I know we have Cowboy fans listening. It was just a who's who of crazy. Maybe that's why he didn't really get to get into any Pro Bowls. But you look at his statistics. I think he was in double-digit sacks 5 or 6 times and never got to a Pro Bowl. Something's not right there. But that's the price of playing with great players like he did.
We've got our next guest, Tony Collins, hanging on the line. We'll get to Tony and our 5-star picks of the week on the other side of this quick station break.